James chapter 1, starting to read at verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. Greetings. Trials and temptations. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do.
Well, let me introduce you to Desmond and Douglas. Do you know them? Desmond and Douglas. They used to sit together in church in the days when you could do that. They'd been friends for a long time. They often dressed pretty similarly, often fairly smart, and they were about the same age. But come the end of a service, you'd notice a difference between them. They'd talk together for a while, but then Douglas would head home. Desmond, though, would often stay. In fact, quite often he'd be one of the last to leave. And he was always here, at least when his knee wasn't playing up. He'd try and get along to the evening service. He never missed a prayer meeting. He'd even worked out how to get on Zoom. And you should have heard him playing the trumpet in the music group. Now, in the service, you'd notice a difference between them too. If you stood where I stand and looked out, well, Desmond would often be nodding in the sermon, sometimes through sleep, but often because of agreement, of understanding, of grabbing hold of something that was being said. He always sang, sometimes with tears coming down his cheeks, related to the realities of what was being sung about, the hope that was real, the love that had come his way. He was always ready to pray in times of open prayer, and his prayers had real depth. We learned from his prayers. Douglas, though, was more absent. Quite often physically, because of some hobby that would keep him away. Sometimes mentally distracted, something occupying his mind, thinking of something else. He didn't always sing, and I never heard him pray. Why the difference? Had something happened in their lives that meant that Desmond was like this and Douglas was like that? Well, they both faced trials of various kinds, as James puts it in his letter. They'd walked the path of bereavement and illness. But where Desmond's faith had grown over the years, where he had become more mature as a Christian, Douglas had faltered. Why? Well, James shows us why in these verses. Remember, we started to look at this letter last week. James is teaching us what it means to be a Christian and how being a Christian should affect the way we think, the words we say, the things we do. All areas of our lives, we are a new creation. We are born again if we're trusting in the Lord Jesus. He's encouraging the church living in the world. Remember, the 12 tribes scattered throughout the nations. But he's warning against the way the world might be influencing the church. The ways in which perhaps we're not changing as we ought to, that we're not thinking or speaking or doing as we ought to. And he grabbed our attention, didn't he? Right at the beginning last week with something quite shocking. Remember that in verse 2? Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And now he shows us how we can get help to think that way, to consider trials in that way. And as we listen, we'll hear him encourage us to be a dependent Desmond. It might feel like a change of topic as we move from verse 4 to verse 5. But James helps us to see there's a connection. Look again at verse 4. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And then verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom. James uses repetition of that word to show us there's a connection here. If any of you lacks wisdom, particularly in understanding, in living through, in facing trials. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Desmond is dependent on God. He asks God for help. That's the essence of prayer quite often, isn't it? To ask God for help. And specifically, he asks God for wisdom. What is wisdom? It's not cleverness. It's not our IQ level. Wisdom is knowing how to live in God's world. That's what wisdom is. We often think it means being able to see what God sees, to be able to see what God is doing, especially in the face of trials. Perhaps I suggested that too much last week, but I'm not sure that's what wisdom is. To gain wisdom isn't necessarily to see what God sees. That's God's department. But instead to see life clearly and God clearly. J.I. Packer, in his really helpful book, Knowing God, says this about wisdom. To live wisely, you have to be clear-sighted and realistic, ruthlessly so, in looking at life as it is. Wisdom will not go with comforting illusions, false sentiment, or the use of rose-coloured spectacles. Most of us live in a dream world with our heads in the clouds and our feet off the ground. We never see the world and our lives in it as they really are. This deep-seated, sin-bred unrealism is one reason why there is so little wisdom among us. Wisdom is to see clearly, to see our lives clearly, to see what we are, fragile, frail, in a fallen world. That's wisdom. To not place our hopes in this world. And wisdom is to see God clearly. His promises, his love, his faithfulness, his sovereignty. To know his peace, even in the midst of chaos. I don't know if you make use of the helpful app PrayerMate to sort of collect things to pray for that shuffles them and brings them to you when you click on it each day. Well, PrayerMate has this prayer within it, which comes under this title, Growing More Like Jesus. We've sung about that today, haven't we? We've noted that's what God is at work doing in us. He wants to make us more like Jesus. Well, the prayer on PrayerMate lifts some words straight out of Colossians chapter 1. It encourages us to do this, pray, that I will be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And look at what it says that should lead to. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And notice how in Colossians it's connected to trials. May God strengthen me with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who's qualified me to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. This is to ask for wisdom, isn't it? Help in real life, endurance when things are hard, patience when we have to wait. Wisdom. And James says to us, it's an amazing promise, James says, this wisdom will be given to us if we ask God. Because God gives generously to all without finding fault, he says. Now James's confidence comes from holding on to two truths about God. God is generous. He gives generously. He is, if you like, if not to be irreverent, like the hand sanitizer dispenser that gives too much. You come across those, suddenly your hands are full and you need to share it with someone, which you can't do, or wipe it on your trousers. He's generous. It's overflowing and giving. And he's gracious. He doesn't give according to our merit. He gives generously to all, James says, without finding fault, not giving us what we deserve. You know, those two things are what the Bible tells us about God, aren't they? He is generous and gracious. We see that most clearly at the cross of the Lord Jesus. God is generous, giving his Son to us, his life for us, that we might know forgiveness and eternal life. And in doing that, he is gracious, not treating us as our sins deserve. God is generous and gracious, so we can be confident if we ask him for wisdom, he will give it to us to help us in the trials of life. But we must ask. Dependent Desmond asked. Different twists and turns that his life took, he asked. He kept asking for God's wisdom as he faced those trials. And as he did, he grew. He became more like Jesus. Be a dependent Desmond. But secondly, don't be a double-minded Douglas. See the warning in verse 6? But when you ask, says James, you must believe and not doubt. Now James isn't saying here that the success of our prayer for wisdom or anything else is down to how much we will it to happen as we pray. It's not down to how much we repeat the prayer over and over again. It's not down to how much we think positively about the outcome. Nor is it saying that the Christian will never have doubts, questions about God or our understanding of what God's doing, Now, those things are normal. The Psalms are full of those questions. Now, James is speaking of someone here who prays, but then acts as if they haven't prayed. Or someone who looks to God for wisdom, but then goes with worldly wisdom instead. Someone who asks God for help and wisdom in a trial, but turns to their own wisdom for answers or escape. Someone, for example, who knows that they need patience and perseverance at the moment, but he turns again to anger or grumpiness against those God has put closest to them. Someone who knows God has promised to be with them in the trial, who understands Psalm 23, I will never leave you. But who turns instead to alcohol for peace or workahol for assurance. Someone who's a double-minded Douglas. See that phrase in verse 8? Not the name Douglas, but double-minded. It's trying to serve two masters, trying to ride two horses, trying to live with one foot on the shore and one foot on the boat. It's a recipe for disaster, isn't it? Now, when trials come, lots of doubts can flood into our minds, can't they? Is God against me? Has God abandoned me? Does God care? Is he really in control? And we have a choice. We can either feed those doubts or feed our faith. But look at the image that James gives for one who feeds those doubts. One who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. Like an inflatable on the ocean. If there's no one in it to steer it or grab hold of it, it's all over the place, isn't it? That's why lifeguards are nervous at the seaside when someone goes out in an inflatable. There's danger. There's tides and eddies and swirls and the wind. No anchor. No assurance. Drifting from one crisis to the next with no progress forward. No maturing. And James suggests that it spreads not just to how they cope in the face of trials, but to all walks of life. Verse 8, such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. They ignore the advice of Proverbs 3, verse 5. Many of us know Proverbs 3, verse 5. We learnt it years ago. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. But double-minded Douglas doesn't do that. He leans on his own understanding. He knows what the Lord wants in his life, but so often he's gone his own way. How he spends his time in his week, well, his Bible becomes dusty on the shelf because there's things to watch on the telly. His attendance at church becomes sort of sporadic because a hobby is so interesting and fulfilling. Earlier in life, he married someone who wasn't a Christian because, well, he was desperate to be married, and though he knew that God wouldn't want him to go that way, he leant on his own understanding. He moved house. He chose a nice house in a nice area, but didn't think about whether there was a church nearby that would feed him and give him fellowship and encouragement. Let his job become all-absorbing, dominating everything, all his energy, all his time. He had kids, and though he knew that faith for his kids was the most important thing, he allowed what the world said about what was important to crowd in their exams and hobbies and clubs. And so they were tutored and taken to this activity and that activity and clashed with things going on at church, and faith got crowded out. Double-minded Douglas. Look at the warning in verse 7. When the trial comes, that person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. No supply of wisdom, no peace in the storm, just more drift. It's really stark, isn't it? James is going to do this again and again through his letter. Two different ways to live, two outcomes, two kinds of people. Dependent Desmond, double-minded Douglas, one who prayed and looked to the Lord and read his Bible and held on to those promises and grew through the trials, matured in his faith, one who drifted and faltered and wavered. Which are you? Which am I? Guess we can see both, can't we, at different times in our lives or in different situations that we face. At times we're more like Desmond, perhaps. We do look to the Lord. We do seek him, hold on to him, know he's holding on to us. Other times we're double-minded Desmond. Douglas, I get them mixed up. Which will we be? That's perhaps the key question. Not which are we like, but which will we be going forwards this week? Dependent Desmond, double-minded Douglas, which will we be? Where will we look? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus, holding on to his character and his faithfulness and his promises, his provisions. And become this week a little more like the Lord Jesus ourselves. Let's pray before we listen together to a closing song. Our Father, we thank you for the warnings you give us in Scripture that don't duck the realities of life. Father, we thank you for this section in James which is very real and realistic about the trials that we face in life. Some of us are in them at the moment. Some of us have been battered by many over the years. But Father, thank you that you are generous and gracious and ready to give us wisdom that we might have a clarity, a clear view of what life is really like, and a clearer view of you and your promises and your provisions. Father, forgive us where we've leant on our own understanding. Help us where we've got into unhelpful patterns, ways of thinking or habits. Father, even this week, would you help us to fight to listen to you more, look to you more, pray to you more, and receive your help. Father, help us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.